beautiful Natalie Roy.
Beautiful Kristen Henge.
I feel like we should tell our listeners about how we had a magical subway sighting the other day.
Oh, that was actually amazing.
Yes.
I feel like we created a miracle for everyone around us that they didn't know was coming.
I got on the subway and I was going to rehearsal, and I was on a time that I'm never on the subway.
Mm-hmm. In a time where I would have assumed you would never have been on the subway.
Yes.
I was getting on the subway, and due to a subway closure station situation, I had to take the downtown subway one stop to then go back uptown. So I ended up getting on a subway I wouldn't normally get on. And I was standing on the subway with Sarah Bareilles in my ears, and I turned my head and I saw the luminous Miss Kristen Henge sitting just a few seats away.
It's so crazy. Like, of all the subway cars in all of New York, we happened to be on each other's. Like, what?
But then you have, I mean, knowing us and our flair for the dramatic, we
ran to each other screaming, held each other like we have never met before. Like, we hadn't seen each other in years.
And held each other for a very long time.
Yeah.
And people around us were laughing, because one thing Kristen and I like to do when we hold each other is go, So it was a magical subway sighting, because as many of you know, we get together once a week to do this podcast, so we always see each other on Sundays.
Yes.
But we went through a long stretch of our friendship where we saw each other every day.
Every day.
Most days. We would have workouts together. Mm-hmm. We'd do lots of things together. And then life happens as life happens.
Yeah.
And so now we do often see each other once a week, maybe twice a week if it's a special surprise. And so this was a very exciting moment.
And I felt like we both needed to see each other in that moment.
Yeah.
Like, for me, it was it actually did feel like this, like, universal hug of, like, I got you.
Yeah.
I got you. You're supported. Everything's good. You are always exactly on time.
Right. You're always where you need to be. The thing you need most will always show up at the moment you need it most.
Always.
It was that beautiful thing. Yeah, because we were both having this day where we were about to go do all these different things.
Yes.
And then it was just this beautiful reset. The universe is for you. All is well. It was this beautiful moment.
You are loved, you are held, and you are adored. And there was a way that, like, you looked at me that, like, was just like, you're so beautiful. And I needed to hear that, because I had been in tech all week, not feeling, like, just feeling like, that I had been in this kind of, like, well, we're going to talk about it today on our topic, right? It's not a hustle, it's a game.
Yeah.
And so all week long, I had to really be mindful about, don't fall into the story of hustle.
Yes.
Even if that is a story that the dominant dialogue wants to be told by everyone else, right?
Yes.
Like, in theater, for those of you who don't know, during tech, people just have stories that, like, tech is hard, it's long hours, people get upset, emotions run high, like, all these things.
Well, tech is kind of the storm before, hopefully, the calm of opening, which is everything goes well.
That's
and,
right.
You know, when Kristen says the hours are long, yeah, it's 10, 11, 12, 13-hour days over and over and
sometimes
over.
Sometimes 14, yeah.
Right? And so, and it is that moment, you know, before a show opens where you have to get those final technical things really in place. So it can be a pressure cooker.
Yeah.
And it's always interesting, and this is why Kristen and I are such advocates for doing things with each other or doing things in community, because we have actually had a very similar lesson coming in around hustle, but it manifests for us, especially this week, in totally polar opposite ways, which then always allows us to see perspective of, oh, wherever, it's easy to think tech week is the problem, or it's easy to think whatever's going on in your life is the problem. But then when you see, oh, it's actually something that wants to come up to be healed, and it shows up in lots of different ways, that we can actually see that all of us, no matter what our life experience, where we've been raised, who we've been raised by, whatever our culture is, all of us have very similar lessons that we are here to learn, and we all learn them in a unique way. But there's a connective tissue amongst all of us of what we're learning, which is why it's so important for us to tell each other what's going on, to connect with each other, to share, and to not isolate.
Mm-hmm.
Because many of us, you know, myself included, I'm so guilty of this, of going into isolation going into, you know, if you're in a messy place, if you're in a difficult place, you hide, you go in, you don't let anyone see those places.
Yeah.
But ultimately, we all have those places, and it's really important to share it so that we can have a feeling of we're all in this together.
And there's only one thing ever going on. There's like one universal thing that is happening on this planet, and we are all doing our best with where we are inside our journey, with whatever our curriculum is. But at the heartbeat of it, we're all the same. So that's why I think it's so fun to sometimes plug into someone very different than you are, to have a deep dialogue with someone that is different culture, different background, different employment, and you go, oh, I see more similarities than our differences.
Right.
Before we jump in on this topic, and I'm so excited to talk about it, I do want to do a little shout out because you and I had a new creative baby that we gave birth to.
We did. You've been asking us for quite some time to offer something, or you've been saying, will you please do this thing? And we finally did it.
Yeah. Many people have said, when are you guys going to write a book? And friends, we've been writing a book for a while. We've had a second of writing a book.
We actually, it's very interesting how our process went. Yep. We actually took a weekend.
Yes.
We went up to New Milford, Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
We had the most beautiful weekend together. And we wrote basically the entire book
yes.
in a weekend. Full of fun and joy and hot tubs and wine and adventures and hiking. And we wrote a book.
Yeah.
And then that was like 2 years ago.
Yes.
And then we've been like slowly revisiting it as we've had changes in our own lives and our own experiences. We've revisited and rewritten things, and it's finally here.
I know. And so it's on sale for our website, our first ever create book. It is only $20, available for download, and it's really a workbook. So it's specifically targeted to your dharma, your dream, whatever it is you're giving birth to, that you can do this process on your dream, on your dharma, and allow it to go through our exercises, these offerings, and let it be birthed through you.
So if you might be interested in our book, you can go to www.thecreateseries.com and you can go click under, we have a chakra course, which is our first ever course that we recorded, which is taking your dream from the idea, the seed, and bringing it into manifestation. And this book really is the accompaniment to
mm-hmm.
this workshop. So you can either buy the two items together. We have a special price
yeah.
if you want to buy those together, or you can buy the course, or you can buy the book. So you
yeah.
have many, many options. And so we just wanted to tell you about that. And now here we go. Now, here's the fun thing.
Mm-hmm.
We are sitting in my beautiful apartment.
Newly redecorated.
Newly redecorated. Yes.
Yeah.
I kind of wish you could all be here because it's autumnal bliss right now.
Yes.
Although we're in between, I have all my Christmas decorations on the floor. There's an evolution continuing to happen.
Ugh, you guys don't know how Natalie loves Christmas. One of my favorite things about Natalie is how much she loves Christmas.
And all the Christmas movies. And if anyone is producing or directing one and would like me to be in it, I say yes. So we're sitting in my apartment, and you may hear a little squirrel in the background. We have my sweet partner is also here with us. So we're just having like a beautiful glass of wine. We're spending a little Sunday together.
Like we do.
And doing a little podcast. So if you hear sounds, don't be alarmed.
So let's jump into, it's not a hustle,
mm.
it's a game. And I wish that everyone listening for our podcast could have been with us this morning. We have a Sunday morning ritual that we do, Natalie and I, and it really ends up being this opening for a deep conversation of whatever has been going on in our lives that week. And why don't you just jump in and say a little bit about what you were sharing with me this morning,
yeah.
and then I'll go in with what that opened for me.
Well, it's interesting because what we often say is Kristen and I will get together on Sundays and we'll say, for next week's podcast, let's focus on this topic, or this is the thing going on in my life right now that I really want to look at. So then what will happen is through the week, that will come up and come up and come up and come up. And it's really coming up because we've set the intention to focus on that.
Yeah.
So It's really kind of an interesting thing, but we could give you all this exercise where I could say blue Ferrari, you know, and all week, all of a sudden, it's like blue Ferrari is going to be everywhere. You're going to notice a blue Ferrari driving by, or you're going to look online and see one, or someone's going to mention it in a conversation, and you're going to say, oh my gosh, it's like the power of intention. Now, blue Ferrari was always there and would have shown up exactly that many times in your week. It's just now you've trained your consciousness to look at it. So now it seems like it's coming up more often. So this is almost like a be careful what you podcast for situation.
Be careful what you podcast for. I love that.
Because whatever we say, hey, let's think about this topic this week, it's going to show up. So as Kristen and I were thinking about hustle, talking about hustle, of course, what I had to face is the ways that I want to hustle, the ways that I want to stay out of the present moment. I want to stay out of the gifts that are already here, and I want to get into striving, proving, worthiness, and ultimately overwork. Now, what's interesting for me is I love to go on vacation. I love to go to Europe. I love going to Europe because I find the quality of life there, the speed of life, the attitude about life is so designed around leisure, pleasure, enjoyment, being in the present, saying yes to your desires. And there is just this beautiful quality of life that I have noticed when I spend an afternoon at a piazza in Italy, or if I'm sitting in a beautiful coffee shop mm-hmm. with my journal in Paris, where you find people are just taking their time. It's not uncommon to go and have a dinner in Paris or Italy, and the dinner is 3 hours long. It's almost like the thing in New York is like, what time is your reservation? You must be there 15 minutes before, and you mustn't stay longer than an hour and a half or you get kicked out, yeah. right? There's this feeling that there's a schedule, there's a time limit, there's a time frame, and you're always on to the next thing. Now, there's been a calling in my spirit to spend more time in that other energy. And yet what I'm noticing in myself is when that energy shows up in my life, I actually have a resistance to it. Mm-hmm. So even though I say, that's everything I want to work less, I want to hustle less, I want to be more present, I want to enjoy life more. Even when life says, okay, let me give you that, it actually, for me, has created a tremendous amount of anxiety. And what I've been uncovering this week is the anxiety for me gets created when there is something that I want that I tell myself I can't have, I shouldn't have, or I should be doing work instead of having that thing. Now, when I then go forth and do that work or do that thing, there's a certain sense of relief. Okay, I got that off my to-do list. Okay, I returned that email. Okay, that person's not going to be mad at me because I got back to them right away. But the anxiety actually gets more because there was a calling inside of me that wanted to be answered that I chose work, hustle, or striving over. And then there creates this unsettled feeling of I'm not really being myself. I'm not really living the way I want to live. And then what happens for me is something will go wrong, like the internet goes mm-hmm. down, the printer breaks, you know, I get an audition and I have to cancel some clients, and then it's like an eruption. Mm. And it's like all of a sudden, it's not like a printer broke, it's like there was a tsunami.
Yes.
And my reaction is completely incongruent to the stimulus that is happening.
Yeah.
Because it's been this low-grade building volcano about to erupt, and it just picks whatever.
Yes.
It just picks anything to erupt into. And it's been a really fascinating thing to notice that, for me, hustle is the opposite of relaxation. And yet, when I take a stand to move into more relaxation, I feel anxious.
Yeah. That is an amazing phenomenon. One of the reasons we don't choose play and relaxation is because at that moment when we open, uncomfortable feelings that have been dormant the entire time can come up to be felt. So it's like, have I been trying to distract myself from this other feeling?
Right. There's a feeling of, if I keep myself busy enough, if you work hard enough, if your schedule is full enough, mm-hmm. then all of those feelings stay dormant because mm-hmm. there isn't space for them.
Mm-hmm.
So there is something that when you start to take a stand for enjoyment, for just being in the moment, for relaxation, that it's uncomfortable because suddenly these things that have been dormant want to come to the surface. And then some of us, for myself, I'll speak to, you feel like you must be doing something wrong.
Mm.
So if all of a sudden I start to feel uncomfortable, then I must be doing something wrong, as opposed to seeing the discomfort as you're actually finally taking a step towards the right direction.
Yes. Oh, the discomfort only comes up because it wants our attention, because there's a healing, a blessing, an opening. There's more joy. There's more love. There's something rapturous on the other side of the discomfort if we can walk through it and allow it to inform us of where it wants to point us.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, so Natalie starts to talk to me this morning about, oh, I realize when I give myself the gift of rest, of play, of enjoyment, of 3-hour lunches,
friends, family, relaxation, playing in the snow, going for a walk,
all the things, that what comes up is this nagging feeling of anxiety. And
I'm missing out.
Mm-hmm.
Someone's getting ahead. I'm not doing enough. Yeah. I'm making mistakes. I'm being irresponsible.
All of that. And it was so funny. I was like, I had an epiphany that came in later. What I had noticed all week long being in this tech, there's a story around it, as we spoke about, of being a pressure cooker, of myself watching, when am I in that story, that inherited story that this collective, you know, people believe about what this is supposed to be, and when am I actually allowing myself to be in joy?
Right.
Right. When am I allowing myself to truly be present? And I could watch my mind go back and forth consistently between, here's where I'm watching the clock and I feel like I have a deadline and I need to, quote unquote, make all these things happen. I need to make a product that is good. I need to control the directive of this because I'm the director, versus when am I actually just being present to the moment that is happening and allowing myself to be in joy for the moment that is happening.
Yes.
You know what's so interesting is most of my job as a director is to say, I like that.
Yes. I'm doing what you're doing.
Exactly. I like that performance. I like that costume. I like that lighting cue. Like, actually, if I just stay in verbally acknowledging what I enjoy, it kind of takes care of itself. And then when there actually is a moment that needs something, I mean, usually if I just ask an intelligent question to the person, like,
they know the answer.
They already know the answer. Yeah. So it doesn't even need to come from me.
Yeah.
I just ask a question that maybe stimulates wonder and curiosity.
Right.
That's when I'm at my best.
And empowers someone else to say, oh, I can come up with a solution for this character.
Yeah.
I mean, as an actor, that's the best director in the world. Not the director who says, do it like this,
yes,
do it like this, go stand here, go do this, but says, what do you think? How would you feel?
Yeah.
If this were happening to you, what would the circumstance be?
Right. I'm noticing that moment wants something. Do you know what it wants?
Right.
Yes, I do. I know exactly what it wants. I've been dying for you to ask
and
me that question.
And I haven't sought permission to do it because I didn't know if it was the right thing.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been constantly watching my own inner dialogue of, what is it that I'm believing right now? Am I believing that I have to be a doer that accomplishes something, or am I believing that I am here to be in joy and to be entertained and to allow it to happen? And you and I were talking this morning over smoothies, like we do.
We had the deepest spiritual talk in the corner of the juice press.
It's like the tiniest bench.
This little tiny bench.
Huddled in.
And all of a sudden, the channel was open, and
woo!
This is when it was happening.
It always comes.
If only we had our microphone.
I know. I was actually thinking that in the juice press. I was like, this is our podcast. So it's like, one of the things Rob Bell says that I love when he talks about children in his, like, he has a launching rockets thing that he talks about, is children are here for your enjoyment. I don't have children. I have projects that are like my babies. And if I think my project, my creativity is here for my enjoyment, it's not for me to control or to try to fix. It's actually here to make my life more fun, then that opens the gates of heaven for me.
Right.
Right? And that actually then allows it to do its job because it knows what it is doing.
Right.
I constantly will coach people on screenwriting and I'll be like, did you have fun writing today? Let's forget about trying to like fix the third act. That gets us into hustle and tight. And yes, there are tools and there is mechanics, but you kind of can't find it if you don't start from a place of, what am I curious about? What lit me up? What is turning me on? What am I enjoying? And if you follow those questions, they will lead you to the answer.
Right. It's like there's this great Ralph Waldo Emerson quote that says, it's a happy talent to know how to play. Mm-hmm. And I do think that. It's a talent. It's a talent in the same way it's a talent to be an amazing singer. It's a talent to be an amazing chef. It's a talent to be an amazing parent. It's a talent to know how to play. And the reason it is a talent is because life isn't set up as a playground.
Yes.
Life is set up as a factory mm-hmm. that we all have to work. And what I was sharing with Kristen this morning is, you know, many of us in our generation were raised in families or in circumstances where we saw our ancestors, we saw the people that came before us live a life of striving and hustle and trying to make it better for the next generation.
That's right.
Or saying, I am going to work so hard to make enough money so that when I retire, I can play and have fun and travel and see the world. And I think many of us in our generation have said, wait, I want to travel now. I want to see the world now. I want to have fun now. I want to experience joy now. And so we think we have taken a stand for that.
Yeah.
We think because we don't have pensions or we don't have jobs that we've been in for 30 years that we're taking a stand for that. But really, if we get really honest with ourselves, aren't we using the same model of striving and one day with our artistry, with the thing that we say we love the most? There are so many actors that I speak with in the audition process, as similar as you were saying about the screenwriting process, where every audition is a judgment. It's a critique. It's you know, as opposed to, did you have fun? Were you present? Did you connect? Did you discover something new? Was there anything that happened that you weren't expecting to happen?
Yeah.
And most of the time, we've shut that part off because we're trying to execute or do a job well or please someone. So ultimately, we're taking this same model, this model that we wanted to resist, which is why we wanted to live an artistic life, but we're using the same tools and the same model and applying it to our artistic life and then wondering why things aren't happening. But there is a way that striving and hustle is future-based.
Yes.
Because striving and hustle is about expectation and results. So if you are treating your career, your artistry, your dream, the thing you say you love most with expectation and requirement and result, then it's impossible to enjoy it, to be present with it, and to have a different experience of it in the present moment.
That's exactly right. And it's so interesting when we think about why we're here, right? The idea that if we talk about this all the time, if we were made out of love for the purpose of love, then the universe wants us to know our true nature. You're here totally lovable, loved, and loving. And when you activate coming from that center, everything has a way of taking care of itself.
Right.
Right? And I don't think we really see that we are meant to be the worthy receivers of all good things. When you and I were walking down the street this morning, we talked about when we really allow ourselves to be open, good things come into our lives.
Right.
I told you, like, when I started working on Clueless, one day, out of nowhere, I got a call that Amy Heckerling wanted to meet with me.
Right.
Right? You were telling a story that out of nowhere, you got this call about this director who's like, I'd like you to come be in my film.
I literally thought this director was calling me to ask me about locations in New York.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, call me around 5, whatever. I kind of blew it off. I ended up having a to call back because I missed the call. It's like, no, we want to talk to you about a role in the film.
Yes. And that's how it's meant for us to be, that if we can allow ourselves to be in joy and take steps out of joy, that we will start to realize we're being given gifts constantly. Mm. But I think we miss the gifts when we get too tight around our lives.
Yeah, I do think that that's a really common thing, is that we are asking all the time, I want more of this, I want it to look like this, I want it to be like this. But when we get into such a requirement-based relationship with things, or we get into a place where it has to look a certain way, it has to come in a certain form, we actually lose sight of the fact that it's already happening in lots of interesting ways. If, for example, I know myself as an actor, it's really easy to think about my career as coming through the channel of my agent. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
So everything I want is coming through that channel. My career is coming through that channel. And you forget to see that there's all these other places that art and creativity and opportunities to act or opportunities to explore, play, and really live your artistic expression are coming all the time from so many different sources. But when your eyes are so transfixed on the hustle of it having to come from one place, you actually miss the fact that it's already happening. And what it does is it creates a disconnect where you feel separate from the thing that you want. As opposed to when you can open your eyes to seeing, what is the game here? A game is afoot. That if I know that the universe is for me, if I know that I am here to be a creative being, and that's going to show up in a lot of different ways, then the game, it's like, I think of like little Harry Potter trying to catch the Snitch,
yes,
right?
Yes.
It's like the game of Quidditch is, you know, you try to get the ball in the hoop, but there's another way.
Yeah.
If you train your eyes to that little golden ball, there's another way you can win the game, and you can win it faster, and you can win it like that, right?
That's where I feel like the game is. How much fun can I have right now? How much joy can I notice is here right now? Because when I focus on that, when I make my goal, how fun can the journey be? Everything else takes care of itself.
Everything changes. Because the thing is, it actually can be fun. But the thing that happens is it starts to be fun, and the old paradigm tells us, well, you must not be working hard enough if it feels fun.
Well, I have this thing that came in about it. What keeps us from the destination is trying to control where we are. So it reminds me of, say someone is dating someone and they're so concerned about what the end game is. Are we exclusive? Did you have my picture on Facebook? Are we moving in together? Are we getting married? They're so concerned about what the result is, they can't enjoy the divine being in front of them.
Right.
Or they become so concerned with fixing or noticing flaws in their partner and wanting them to change or wanting something to change that they can't enjoy what is.
Yes.
And those things become the block to actually being in the relationship you want to be in.
Yes.
If you were actually just eyeball to eyeball with another wonderful human / spiritual being and enjoying who they are and what they bring to the table, everything has a way of taking care of itself. As we say, energy first, then form.
Right. It's kind of interesting because I was telling Kristen this really interesting story.
The journal story?
The journal story.
I'm obsessed with the journal story.
All right. So, you know, I have realized about myself that something that soothes the anxiety is when you control certain things, right? I'm sure many of us know what I'm talking about here. So if I control, for example, my schedule, if I control how many hours of work I put in a day, if I control what I'm eating, if I control my workouts, if I control blah, 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 blah. The list goes on for all of us. There are things of, if I control this, then I feel, exhale, better. Right? Now, ultimately, we're not actually solving any problems here. We're just putting band-aids on them.
That's right.
So something for me is, I know for myself that if I prime my day by getting up and having alone time and meditating and doing yoga and journaling and really just having this beautiful carved out time, I know I'm going to be, I'm going to open my day with great energy. Okay? So again, it's about getting so attached to form. So this is a form of something that makes me feel better, but let me not get too attached to it, because then the universe will say, even as Ram Dass says.
I was just going to say, Ram Dass says, even the method can be a trap.
Exactly. So even meditation can be a trap if it just becomes something you're controlling, right? So cut to Natalie gets up out of bed. You know, I'm doing my morning practice. I'm like living my best life. And I start writing my journal practice. Now, Kristen and I have a specific journal practice that we started doing when we were traveling this summer. That's been really fun. And one of the things we do in our journal practice is we write our desire list. And the desire list is really just what would be really fun things that could happen today that would delight me, that would feel fun, that are things that I just desire, that if those things happened, it would be great. But I'm not attached to them happening. It's just, oh, that would be cool, right? So sometimes I put on my desire list, it would be so fun to get a money surprise. Then maybe I walk down the street and I find a dollar bill and it's amazing because I feel like the universe and I are having a conversation and I got a present. And maybe to someone else it would just be like, oh cool, I found a dollar. But all of a sudden there feels like there's magic in it, right? So this practice for me incites my looking around and trying to see how the universe is for me and how we're in a dialogue and how when I desire things, they want to come to me. So I'm doing my journal practice.
So good.
I love outing myself so publicly on this podcast. I'm doing my desire list, and I'm writing on my desire list, I would love to have a moment today where I feel so loved and held. It's something along these lines. So I'm just finishing writing the word loved and H, right? My phone rings. I pick up my phone. It's my partner who's in the bedroom. And they say, Natalie, come here. Let's have cuddles. And my instinct, I kid you not, friends, is I can't come have cuddles. I'm doing my morning practice. And yet what I am writing is, universe, could I please have a moment where I feel so loved and held? And the phone rings and says, I am here and available to love and hold you. And I'm saying, that's great, but I have to do my desire list. That is what I want to call putting hustle above the game.
Ooh, it's so good. And all dressed up in spirituality, right? Oh. I mean, so hustle can take many forms of when do we become rigid that we have to be the one to achieve it? Yeah. As opposed to, hey, maybe you're just supposed to be delighted.
Right. Maybe it's already here for you. Maybe it's not something you even have to ask for because it's already here. And maybe what should really be my desire is give me the eyes to see how it's already here for me.
I mean, there's a sentence in the Bible that says, ask and it is given to you. Knock and the door will be open. But we are so afraid that if we ask, it's not going to be given,
yeah,
that we get all tight and we get into the striving mode and we can't see how it's being given.
Yeah.
Right? We put these blinders on of hustle and work and effort. I have something I want to say, and I feel so silly for saying it, and I'm just outing myself, but I keep thinking about the older I get, the better lover I become. And I think you might resonate on this, but Natalie and I love to talk about how much we love sex. And but something really does happen in terms of surrender, of like, sex gets better and better the more that you just allow whatever is in you to be. It's like, it reminds me of like a really great scene where you're just so in the flow of being in the moment that you are no longer trying to control anything. And I think of like being in my early 20s and like being in my head, what do I look like? How is it? Da, 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 that you couldn't actually be present with another spirit, right? All of a sudden, when you can be like spirit to spirit and free, and I think of like meditation has been this beautiful tool of how to clear my mind and allow my mind to be clear so that I'm not anywhere else but in the present moment, right? And how that has allowed me to open sexually, and it becomes this big metaphor for what also wants to happen for me creatively. May I bring to my creative process no preconceived ideas about what this is, how it needs to happen, or what this moment should be, but may I be so inside this moment and so in awe of it, that it is showing me there is something that is occurring right now. This moment is a prayer. I am in awe of it. I am opening to it, and it can happen anywhere. Mm. That moment is available for us on the subway, in yoga class, anywhere we show up. There is a divine moment of conversation happening, and it can only happen when we let go mentally. Oh my gosh, someone this morning said, and you were sitting right next to me, when I'm in my mind, I'm in manipulation.
Yes.
And I literally, like, my whole body was
stop the car.
Yes. I want to just, when I get in my mind, I get in manipulation.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you were talking about your anxiety that can come up when you allow rest and relaxation, the download that I had, and it was right after that person said that, is my anxiety can come up when I try to control other people's reactions to me, right? That my anxiety can come up that puts me into hustle and to striving is, it's the total, like, I want everybody to be happy. I want everybody to be okay. I want to manage other people's feelings. I mean, it's control, control, control. It's like, you know, you talk about, like, I want to control my food or my workouts or how many hours I work or how clean my apartment is. I want to control how other people feel. And that is fucked. Like, I'm going to say the F word on our podcast.
Yes, we must.
Like, the thing that we know is that everybody has their path and everybody has their process. And it's important that everybody has every emotion that they want to feel. And so it's that thing of, like, I want to be like, let's just be in heaven all the time. And sometimes someone has to say, I'm in suffering and I'm in pain. And I am in pain right now, and I think it's because of something you caused.
Right.
And I have to be like, I understand, and that must hurt, and that must be painful. Right. And I can see how you would feel that way. And can I be a big enough space to allow everybody to have their feelings, everybody have their process, and not to try to manage it? Because what happens to me is if I try to get into hustle, like, it's like the tech. Here's a room full of 100 people. If I want everybody to have a good time, I will become miserable, right? Yes. I can't control everybody else.
Yes.
Everybody's going to have the time they want. If they want to get stressed out about tech, or if they want to laugh and play and have jokes. And within a given day, most people go back and forth between the two all day long, as do I, right? And the only thing that I am in charge of ever is how much am I allowing myself to be in joy and in play. And, like, you and I were talking about Abraham Hicks saying that there can never be
a happy ending
to an unhappy journey.
Yeah.
And what I watch myself try do sometimes is creating an unhappy journey for myself because I want everybody else to have a happy ending.
Yeah.
I mean, that's weird.
Yeah.
And so really looking at some of those mechanics of, like, where did that come from? And also trusting on a deep level, like, life is for us. Everyone's process is for them. And just like my process is for me. And allowing that process to take whatever shape it wants to take, and allowing all of it to be okay.
Yeah, thank you for saying that. I feel like so many of us have such a difficult time knowing what we want, acknowledging what we want, and then saying it out loud to someone else. And then it's very important for us to then say, and if someone has a negative reaction to you speaking up or you saying what you want, you know in yourself how challenging it is to sit with it and those feelings when it feels uncomfortable. So can we not try to control everyone else into saying, well, once I'm finally okay with it, I need you to be okay with it.
Yes.
Because just because we've now made peace with it, many times we're saying it for the first time, and we need to allow people the permission and the integrity of their own process and know it's not personal. Know that when people get upset, they're often not upset with us. They're upset with whatever us has stirred up in them that maybe they haven't understood or faced or looked at yet. But it can be a really tricky process. And ultimately, it's about bringing compassion all around, because for me, what I do think is many of us get into this hustle energy because it's about proving. Can I prove my worth? Can I prove my value? Can I prove that I'm good enough? Can I prove that I deserve a seat at this table? Can I prove that I'm lovable? And when we surrender the hustle and say it's actually just a game, it is a game because you already are at the table. You're already lovable. You're already worthy. There's nothing to prove. You just get to share who you are with the world and share who you are with someone else. But often when we do get courageous enough to share who we are with someone else and someone says, that's not for me or I don't like it, it makes us feel like, oh, I made a mistake. I should go back to hustle. I should go back to proving. I should go back to striving. But one thing that you and I were talking about that was really profound for me was whatever attitude you see your work through, you are ultimately seeing yourself through. So if you see, I have to work hard because my talent is not manifest, there's an unfinished product here, there's more to be done, there's striving, there's something to fix, there's something to be made better, then ultimately what you are saying to yourself every single time you sit down to work and hustle is, I'm unfinished, there's something wrong with me, there's something that needs to be made better. So when the world reflects to you, I don't know if I like that, it's very easy to go back into that mode. And the job, the talent, the responsibility is to say, I have to take a stand for my own enoughness in such a way that I can play no matter what anyone else says or does.
That's it. I take a stand for my own enoughness that I can play no matter what anyone else says or does. That may be my tattoo.
Yeah. Well, and if you think about this, let's say, you know, I mean, you can take really practical examples, right? Let's say as an actor, I say, oh, I'm going to turn down these roles. Well, doesn't that just incite a guilt in you when you know there's other actors just working so hard? I would give anything to do that. But why would it bring up a guilt in me? If I turn it down, maybe it creates an opportunity over there,
right?
But it doesn't mean I'm doing something wrong. Maybe me turning something down, not quote unquote working so hard, is actually an act of service for someone else.
Well, that's it. That's exactly it.
So we want to be very, very mindful. You know, we were kind of creating these two lists of like what hustle is and what the game is. If hustle is proving ourselves and striving and trying to get somewhere, and hustle's always about the future, when I lose the weight, when I get the surgery, when my kids are older, when. Hustle is about expectation. The game that we're interested in playing is not about proving, it's about being. It's about letting come out what is already good, what is already us, what is already manifest. It's not about striving. It's about playing. It's about saying, I was born with these talents and these gifts, and I'm just sharing them. Just running around and showing you what they are. It's not about the future. It's about what is here and now. It's about the gift that the world needs now. It's not about trying to get somewhere. It's about enjoying and getting to say, I even get to take pleasure in myself. I get to take pleasure in what I look like. I get to take pleasure in my feelings. I get to take pleasure in how this manifests for me, whether it's taking a long lunch, whether it's going for a walk, whether it's having a little secret sex date in the middle of the day, I get to enjoy and take pleasure in myself and my own desires. And it's not about expectation, it's about appreciation.
That's it.
It's not about where is it going to come, when is it going to come, how is it going to come. It's appreciation of it's already here. I get to enjoy it. I get to have gratitude for it. I get to celebrate it. But I can't acknowledge it's already here if I'm so busy trying to get it.
Oh.
Because I can't be so busy trying to get it that I forget that I already have it.
So what might be fun for us this week is to play the game of appreciation, right? What's happening right now in this moment? Let me drop my mind, right? So my mind is the part of me that wants to manipulate. Let me just drop it. This moment. What is here right now? So wherever you are listening to this podcast, just look around. What is here to appreciate? For me, it's the color of Natalie's lips and how beautiful her skin is. It is the warmth of my sweater. It is the shape of my legs. It is the beautiful color that the sky is outside of Natalie's window. It's the fact that we get to sit here and have these conversations. It's about knowing that we're part of something bigger that is occurring. What are the things that are happening right now where you can see them, you can smell them, that take you into your heart? And from that place, realize I already have it all. And all my job is to do is enjoy this beautiful game.
Right. If you are enjoying, then there's nothing to strive for. Mm-hmm. And many of us think that's lazy, or it's dropping the ball, or it's settling. But when you can aliven meaning in your life, when you can wake up to feeling relaxed in the fact that you already have it, it's actually the fertile ground to have more and more and more.
I heard Abraham Hicks say this amazing thing that was like, the reason that we feel so good when we first fall in love is because we've focused ourselves into so much appreciation.
Yes.
Like, you first meet someone and then you're just constantly in appreciation. So you're just, appreciation is just firing on all cylinders. And then that wears off after a while.
Right.
But it's just in that moment, we have focused ourselves into so much appreciation. And that is a certain kind of muscle to look for those things that are here right now that are the divine showing up.
It's a talent to play.
It is a talent.
I have a quote that's going to blow your mind, Kristen Henke.
Give it. I want it.
I love to delight you. Get ready to enjoy.
I'm ready. Give it.
Alan Watts. This is the real secret of life. To be completely engaged with what you are doing in the here and the now. And instead of calling it work, realize it's all play.
All right, he did it. I love that he did our whole podcast.
I know.
In one sentence.
He did it so succinctly.
All right, thanks.
It's because he was so busy playing, he just didn't have time to do a whole thing about it.
Yeah. I got too much play to do.
Thank you for listening to this conversation, and thank you for any stand that you want to take this week. That is surrendering to the game of being yourself and playfulness and enjoyment and appreciation and whatever that looks like for you. And we would love if you would come to the Create Community Facebook page, and it's Create the acronym, so C.R.E. We would love for you to come and let us know how you're processing this, how you're engaging in it. And know that when we move out of our comfort zone, sometimes it does feel uncomfortable. Sometimes it can bring things up. Sometimes you'll really still want to stay with your journal because you think it's a thing to do, but you're in the practice of trying to notice something different, and practice makes progress, and it can be a beautiful thing. So come to the Create Community Facebook page, share with us, share with each other what's going on. Also, if you want to come to our website, thecreateseries.com, you can get on our little mailing list. You can get a free download meditation, which is a meditation for a perfect day in your life, which can really activate your appreciation for life. And it's just a good place to be. There's a lot of offerings there, and you'll be able to find out about our live classes in New York City and all the other things that we're up to. And most of all, we want to let you know, you, our listeners, that we have such a profound appreciation for you. And one thing that's a gift for us is this podcast has never felt like a hustle. This podcast has been the place where we come and enjoy each other and enjoy our conversations with you, and we enjoy your feedback. So if you want to come onto the podcast and, you know, give us a rating or let us know if you have podcast ideas for us, we are always down for that. And we really, really appreciate your listening and your time.
Two things. One, do you know what downloaded? We are preaching the gospel of play.
Oh.
Right?
Let's write it.
The gospel.
Now that we finished the book, we have something else we have to write.
Exactly. And then two, we have a new playful practice we're going to do, where on Monday, we're going to post what is next week's podcast topic, and then we would love for you to be part of the conversation on our Facebook page. So we're going to tell you this is what we're studying this week, so then you can be detectives as well and say, well, this is how it's working for me, this is how what's coming up, these are the questions I have, this is what I'm noticing. So together, this podcast can be more of a collaborative art that we as a community are creating together. And we just thought that that would be a whole lot of fun to do.
And we only want to do what's fun. And we want to do it with you.
Thank you so much for listening. We love to feel like we have friends all over the world in you who are committed to doing their dream on the planet.
And if you liked this podcast and you want to find out more about what we're doing or who we are, our pop-up classes, our online classes, you can check all of that out at thecreateseries.com.
And if you want to be part of our Facebook community, you can go to the Create Community page. That's C.R.E.A.T.Community.
And if you loved this podcast, why not share it with a friend?